The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He'll either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the first and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor were clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows up today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. I think we have a problem here. When we hear these beautiful words of Jesus in today's gospel about trusting in God for all of our needs, the way the little birds do for God for food, or the way the flowers trust in God for their wraps, you might think that Jesus is someone out there in the field somewhere with no place to rest his head, not knowing where his next meal is coming from, content with the clothes on his back and the sandals on his feet, and saying, "Me worry?" But in this year, 2017, how many of us could identify with a Jesus like that? He never had to worry about the fluctuating price of gas, or the cost of food, or the cost of health care, or rent, or tuition, or the fear of being deported, or the thousands that are starving to death in Africa. Was it easy for him not to worry? Well, the truth is, Jesus really wasn't like that, like "me worry." I'm afraid we have some misconceptions about him and his life as a traveling preacher, or even before that. There's only one short phrase in the Gospel of Luke that tells us much about his early life, and that's when the people of Nazareth say, "Is not this the carpenter we know?" But Jesus was not the kind of carpenter we know. He didn't build houses or cabinets or stairs. It would be much more true, those who study the scriptures tell us, if we called him a woodworker, which means he fixed things like doorways and beams in the house, simple tables, stools, boxes, plows, yokes for animals, and probably worked a lot with stone and rocks. He wasn't rich, but he wasn't dirt poor either. Maybe in the lower middle class of his time, who had at least enough to take care of themselves from what they could grow in their gardens and what they could get from their work. He was probably the only woodworker there in Nazareth, a small village of a few hundred people at most, we're told, and had enough job security to take care of himself, his mother, and some of his relatives. It was when he decided to be a disciple of John the Baptist and then later to go on as a traveling preacher and leave the relatively secure life of a woodworker that he had to trust more in God than in his own work. He may have had some money of his own, and probably those fishermen he called to be his first apostles had some savings they could draw on. The gospel tells us that there were a group of women of some resources who used those to take care of the apostles and Jesus. So they didn't have to depend on local food banks. What was he really talking about then today in today's gospel? He was basically saying, check your priorities. Check your priorities. Check where you're putting your energies, your concerns, your worries, your time. What's keeping you up at night? What makes you get up in the morning? What ties your stomach in knots? Or what's making you anxious or exhilaratingly happy? And most of all, are your anxieties changing anything? Has all this worry got you any place? I think what's most important, what Jesus is saying, is where is your faith in God as a father who takes care of not only the birds and the wildflowers, but especially about you and me, God's sons and daughters, whom he loves more than a mother could love her infant? About 3 years ago in a city in northwestern Spain, a man named Manuel Gonzalez, who sells lottery tickets for a living, found an old lottery ticket from June 2012 when he was cleaning out a lost property box. Somebody must have dropped it on his shelf there, his counter. He was going to throw it away, but then he thought, I better check it out first. Manuel did, and he found that the prize for that year had not been claimed by anyone. So he looked at the ticket. Number 10, checked. Number 17, checked. Number 24, checked. Number 37, checked. Now he's getting excited. There were only two more numbers. 40, checked. 43, checked. He had the winning lottery ticket. He was so excited he had to sit down. And then he thought, maybe I better count them again. He checked them again, and they checked out again. He had the unclaimed winning ticket worth 4.7 million euros, which is about $6.3 million. Oh my God, he thought. So what did he do? He turned in the winning ticket to the city authorities, who have been searching for its rightful owner. He told his local newspaper he never considered claiming the prize. He said, I wouldn't be able to sleep. He'll be entitled to claim the prize money if no rightful owner steps forward. Manuel said, we're still in a phase where it's all just been made public, so really what will be. We have a phrase, he said, it's God's will. I've done a web search during this last week to find out if anybody, you know, this was 3 years ago, if anybody had come forward to claim the prize, there were some who turned out to be fake, or whether Manuel kept it, and I haven't been able to learn. But either way, what would you have done? In our mind, do we think that a winning lottery ticket will serve all of our, solve all of our problems? Would more money save the problems in our life? There's nothing like the hope of a lot of money to test our priorities. Are our priorities right as the gospel advises? Jesus said we can't serve both God and money, but he acknowledged that we need them both. Today's gospel should not make us think that Jesus never had a worry in his life. We know that he did get stressed out. He talked about a baptism with which he had to be baptized, and he was in tension until it would be solved. That's because he worried about the right things and left the rest to God. Just as he had when he was younger, he worked as if everything depended on him, and he prayed as if everything depended on God, because it did, and it does. I'm not sure whether any of you are going to leave church more relaxed this morning than when you came in. That depends not just on your faith, but on all kinds of other circumstances of your life. That holds for me too. So it's not a matter of not worrying, but of worrying about the right things and knowing the difference and who is in control. May our Eucharist, when the same Jesus who spoke the words of today's gospel comes to be our sacrifice and our nourishment, help us to do that. Amen.
Don't give up chocolate for Lent, but choose to make this the best Lent ever. Matthew Kelly is a writer, a spiritual Catholic writer, who created a program called Dynamic Catholic. He has a short invitation here.
Hi, I'm Matthew Kelly, and on behalf of everyone here at Dynamic Catholic, I want to invite you to join us for our Best Lent Ever program this year. Do not give up chocolate for Lent this year. Let's do something incredible. Let's do something different. Let's do something creative. Think about it. When was the last time you had a really memorable Lent? Can you look back and say, oh, in 1984 and in 2001 or in 1997? When's the last time you had a truly memorable Lent? This year, let's make a great journey together. What is the Best Lent Ever program? Every day, we'll send you an email for 40 days during Lent with a short video and some other great inspirational content to help you have the best Lent of your life. So join us for the Best Lent Ever program. Don't give up chocolate this Lent. Let's do something incredible together. And remember, be bold, be Catholic.
So to intentionally make some decisions this week, this is one program. You can go online, bestlentever.com, and sign up for that, and that'll come into your email box every day. Something to think about, and know that you're not alone. This is happening throughout the world, and people all over the world joining together in prayer and intentionality to make this the best Lent ever. There's a lot of different programs and processes that we have here. Of course, just coming to Mass each day, coming to Mass on Sunday. Do what you can. Someone told me last night they're just taking 10 minutes of silence, and maybe just that will be life-changing. Let's make this the best Lent ever. God bless you.